Blog Talk Radio. The cargo and lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again, give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
A name deals strictly with ethmology, which is the study of the origin of the words. And I want to dedicate this program to all the people that call themselves African Americans or ex-slaves or black Americans. This is part of your series that we have on What's in a Name is When the East Meet the West. It was 72 tribes of black people that lived in the Western Hemisphere, which you live in now. Been over, we got records of us 92,000 years ago. I got maps 250,000 years ago of us as being over here. And we didn't come from Africa. But to all the people that call themselves that and the ex-slave and the descendants of the ex-slave, that you are African-American, I am dedicating this to the congregation. If you are a African-American or a black preacher that has a DDS or any kind of doctor's degree in divinity, and you graduated summa cum laude of your class, magna cum laude or cum laude, I want to dialogue you. I have no problem putting you on the stage. And if you don't know what your white daddy has taught you, I'm going to straighten it out. Because, see, my daddy told me, Drew, that the only way that a person know that he's a zip-down fool is that you put him on stage before his congregation and make a zip-down fool out of him with documentation for your conversation. So any preacher out there that has a doctor's degree, and they got some here in Dallas, Texas, called T.D. Jakes, Freddie Haynes, and all of that crew, Oral Roberts, bring you and your white daddy, and I'll dialogue you till your kneecaps catch on fire. See, I'm pissed off through the day on this here. And so we're going to go through what's in a name. And I'm finna show you how some Gentiles, white people called Americans, have jived you for all of these years by not telling you your history. And we're going to start with your name. But we're going to run down some history first. And what we're going to start with, Brother Jew, and we're going to start with when the first African came over here to Jamestown, Virginia. See, these people that brought you over here is guilty of something. They bought you. We have record of you slaughtering thousands upon thousands of black, red, brown race of people. You bought 155 slaves on a slave ship called Jesus of Luxor and John the Baptist, manned by, to Jamestown, Virginia in 1555. The captain of that ship was a Presbyterian minister by the name of John Hawkins. When he was a slave, when he was a Presbyterian minister, and John Hopkins when he was a slaver, when he ran a slave ship. Some of the women was already pregnant from being raped on board that ship by his crew. It is recorded in this country's history that the first baby was born in 1556. A child was born in Jamestown, Virginia. They had named this 14-year-old girl Sarah, and her daddy was named Abraham Bradford, who was John William Bradford's brother, the governor of the colonies. This is the start, and they named him Adam. Ain't that something, Brother Drew? This is right. The start. This is the start of today's African American Negro people here on earth. That you ain't got too much history. It's only 457 years old. It ain't very old. as you being this slave. So we're going to trace the history of this slave from 1555 to July the 1st, 2013. We're going to run his history down to him. We're going to first do this in what's in a name to see what your white daddy done did to you and fooled you in your education. Excuse me. After 64 years, a special breeding process, you was known as a person of color. That was 1619. And no one was allowed by the law to call you an African again. That means that they had trained you and disciplining you in their school of thoughts and their mind into their way of life. You was put into a color code system, which is a caste system, starting with a mulatto, quadrone, octrone, and mustee. And last week I told you how they breeded these babies, how they done bred you like you prime livestock. The black colored people was called two-thirds human. You wasn't a human being. You was half ape, so they say. I wonder sometime who the orangutan is, Brother Drew.
Right.
They say if you had human blood in you, you was either one of these four right here, mulatto, quadrone, octrone, and mustee, and due to how this color here up under this caste system, this is your government system that you was put up under, is how you was treated. Each one of these Negroes had different treatment, different status, cost different prices of money. This is when I put you on the auction block. I want you to know about this here. And you had to have human blood. This was what it's called a color code. Well, now let's see when this color code came into existence, how you became a race of people. In 1786, Jonah F. Blumenbach, a German anthropologist, said it was a race of people. And all the white folks agreed to it. And it was a race of people. And they taught it in all their school system that this is the race of people. That Jonah F. Blumenbach and Robert A. Cunningham, an English anthropologist, said back in 1776. So they put you off into a category. According to color code, if you was black, they call you a Hamite, the Ike boys. And you became a Hamite, Cushite, Canaanite. This is what they say you were if you was black. If you was brown, and this is, I'm talking about the Eastern Hemisphere. This is when they East meet the West. This wasn't in the Western Hemisphere. This is in the Eastern Hemisphere where y'all came from, you African Americans. If you was brown or yellow, you was called the Nice boys, and you became the Chinese, the Burmese, the Japanese, the Taiwanese. But if you came from the Gentile race of people, who is known as the Germanic tribe of people, the sophisticated culture trees, that's what Tyrone called them, it's mighty funny, Brother Drew. Let's see where racism started. Have you noticed something in particular when Jonah F. Blumenbach started naming different nations of people that they had, that none of these nations of people called themselves this. They didn't call themselves this, and the white man calls them this. They don't call themselves this. Only the African American called himself what the white man see he is. They don't call themselves this. If you notice something so unique that I say is the beginning of racism, is that, check me out, don't believe nothing I say, just go through your school of thought. Have you noticed how he named himself? He named himself English man, French man, German. He said he the only damn man on earth. Isn't that very fantastic when you really study and you get down into the BS that these white boys done gave us, Drew? I mean, you got to be a blimmin' fool that can't see this right now, Drew. You know, see, ignorance is when information is not available, too much information available now, because so you can't make no transformation without information, and documentation beats any bullshit conversation. And when you hear this voice here, that's what I go up under them terms, Jack. Don't come telling me nothing, because see, I'm going documentation. This is, they had an old TV program long time ago, This Is Your Life, African American. In 1776, some Anglo-Saxons renamed themselves Americans. They waited 94 years after they had fought a war, and in 1870, you became a black American. See, when they became American and free, you was on the plantation, and the Indian, most of them was on the reservation. This is in 1870. So they signed a peace treaty with the South. What kind of treatment that you would get, and that you was at peace with them under these treatments. That's what a peace treaty is. Whenever you sign one with a white man, this Anglo-Saxon that you love so much, your white daddy, this is what kind of peace treaty that your white daddy teaches you, and you sign with him. So you sign with him that he said that one of the stimulations for you to become a black American and a second-class citizen is that you had to take a Christian name and you would take this Christian name and you could become a second class citizen up under what is known as the black clothes. You also in 1870 said with your ignorant self that you was a black Gentile. White folks said you was a black Gentile. That's why how you became. But when you go into the 10th chapter of Genesis in your Bible, it clearly tells you that the children of Japheth, children, was the Gentiles, meaning that these people came from the Caucasus Mountain, had their own tongue. You were from a Hamitic. If you was black, anybody knows in 2013, then you came from Africa. You started off as a Hamite and then a Cushite and then an Ethiopian. Because see, all of these words mean black. Congo, all of this stuff means black. That's all it means, Brother Drew. Black. Moor and all of this, it means that you was black. And then you'll sit up in 2013 and tell Meatball that you's a black Gentile. No, you's a fool. Somebody done fooled you into believing what they say. Around about 1880 6, Brother Drew, after some blacks had built the White House, they let them become Prince Hall Masons. Now, mind you that this masonry thing that they let them become, they said they was clandestine and they had to work up under the white man's charter and made 3 letters out of them. Not 4 letters, but 3 letters. He was a 3-letter Mason. And that's what your white daddy put you up under. I'm telling you about your white daddy. Are you prim and proper, highly sophisticated, DD-toting degrees, Negroes? This is who I'm talking to tonight, too. And anybody listen, you go out there and you tell, if you're a Christian, you tell your preacher what I said. I mean, every word that I'm speaking coming out of my mouth, I'm telling you your history. This is your history. Around about the 1900, after some blacks had established colleges and the blacks was in colleges and they wanted to be more like white folks, they looked over there and say, "Oh, Mr. White Man, my sir, can we's like to be black Greek. We's like to be Greeks." So Master say, "Yeah, nigga, you can be Greeks, but you got to be black Greeks. So you couldn't be the white Greek. You couldn't be that." True. That's when you became Alpha Phi Alpha and Phi Beta Sissies and all of this here stuff. That's when you came into existence. You became a black Greek. You couldn't join his Greek fraternity. Oh, no, because you're the second-class citizen. In 1932, you became a black Muslim. And you became very enlightened when you check the history out of when 1932 came and you became a black Muslim. The people that followed Elijah Muhammad and his ways became the greatest nation of people, black people, coming out of this slave of the ex-slave, Brother Drew. The black Muslims is what they people, their women and their children, is what a black Christian women and children should look like. You don't see no Nation of Islam children with their britches sagging down and tattooed all up and running around looking like who did it and how come. You don't see that in the Nation of Islam. You don't see they women walking the street buck naked and see through their butt and titties showing and flopping down and baby see him and start crying, think it's like Farrakhan say, think it's milk in time. You don't see no Muslim woman like that. Not no black Muslim woman. You don't see it. Only a Christian one. Only a Christian one. And if you preachers out there don't know where to find them, come get me and I'll take you around and show you, and we'll go up to them and ask them, ain't they Christians? You can start with some of your entertainers. And that's a Christian, boy. I don't want to be one. Do you hear me, Brother Drew? I said I don't want to be one.
Oh, yes, sir. I hear you.
And in 1964, I never will forget, two things happened. Brother Drew, I was sitting in the living room with my daddy on both incidents when Sammy Davis said that he was a black Jew. My daddy said that nigga's crazy. So, being a mean, they let you become a black Jew and gave you some land over in Dahomey, I think it is, and you were doing and prospering very well, the people all over there. They had a hell of a time because we used to fellowship with them, remember, Drew? we used to fellowship with them and went at conference with them. They had a hell of a time. A lot of them died when they first went over there, but now they took that desert land, and y'all blessed them, and they doing very well up under Judaism. The black Muslims doing real good up under Islam, but we talking about this Christian now and how he doing. He ain't doing so good. Yes, sir.
Let me see if we got a caller coming in. Let's want to take a caller real quick.
Oh, yeah, we can take a caller. I can continue the history. I can recite it. You know I can recite it verbatim.
Oh.
I know where I left off.
All right, we'll take the caller coming in from the 317 area code, 453, yo.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
How you doing, Brother Drew X? How you doing, Brother Dawah?
I got peace of mind, brother.
Doing good.
I just wanted to touch on, add on to what you were saying about, you know, about like the how people present themselves out in public, you know, with the, you know, the brothers, the young brothers sagging and the you know, our women, naked and you know.
I want to find Christians, the Christians. They Christians.
Yes.
Every last one of them is Christians.
Yes. Now, I had learned this today in class. Yah, you know, said that that what we must do to help turn our people around from these evil things and their evil ways is that we gotta go out and we have to teach them, because if we don't, then Yah won't see no favor in us. See.
Look, young brother. Let me straighten you out a little bit, Seth. Young brother. This knowledge is not for everybody. Only the chosen. And we tell the knowledge, and if you receive it, you receive it. If you don't, we don't care if you don't do or don't. Because we are just here to put the knowledge of Yah out. Some will do it, some won't. It ain't for everybody, and we know it. It's just only for Yah's people to teach.
That's exactly what I was.
Yah don't want nobody going out. He just wants you to tell his message. You don't have to go out and recruit nobody, because it's in your DNA. You'll get recruited. It's what you call, we're in the dispensation, in the time period of separating God's people from Yah's people. So God's people going to stay with God, and Yah's people going to stay with Yah. And that's what we're doing right now. You're in that time period. I know you're a young brother. You haven't been traveling long, but you done started traveling. It was meant that you learn about Yah and study Yah and understand Yah. And maybe when you get 6 to 7 years old like me, you'll understand what I know about you.
The thing is, though, I was misheard. You know, the thing that I was trying to say is that of course, a lot of people, you know, people won't understand, you know, this, because a lot of people aren't chosen. You know, a lot of people aren't meant to be used as vessels by Yah to, you know, be upright, you know, and, you know, because a lot of people's going to be destroyed. I mean, you know, this ain't about color. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, when you become a Yah man, bro, you don't care about nobody else. I mean, see, you still got a lot of Christianity in you,
I've never been a Christian. I've never been a Christian. You know, I've never accepted that indoctrination.
Here's what I'm saying, young brother. Your thoughts that's coming out of your mouth, your school of thoughts, although you have never been a Christian, it's taught in the Christian church. That's their doctrine that you're teaching, that you should go out and do this and do that and help this person and help that person. Each person in the teaching of Yahweh, and you help yourself. And we ain't out trying to recruit nobody. We just tell you a way of life. If you see what we're talking about, then it'll become part of you. If you don't see it, you can keep on traveling. You know, Yahwehism doesn't love everybody. Yahwehism doesn't love anybody.
That's true.
Yahwehism is based upon one thing: obedience to the law.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it starts with self. See,
mm-hmm.
It starts with self. The four steps that I learned in class in order to, you know, for Yah to see favor in us is first step identification, second redemption, third resurrection, and fourth ascension. And that starts with self. See, you know, now in no way, shape, form, or fashion, I'm talking about going out there and standing on street corners and telling people, hey, look, this is the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we are supposed to speak the truth, but at the same time, though, we're not supposed to go out there and be like, come this way. You are chosen. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody ain't chosen. You know what I'm saying? See, I was brought to this form because I asked, you know what I'm saying, the Creator to show me his real name and show me what direction he want me to move in. I mean, why am I existing? Why am I still on this earth? You know, what do you want me to do? What purpose do you have for me? That's what I asked. I asked him because all my life, you know, I've been, you know, seeking the truth, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I got an open mind, and I be careful what I put inside of my mind. Like, I'm not the type of person that be like, oh, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm not that type of person, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people is not meant to grasp this, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people aren't chosen, because it's only a select few that he's going to use as his vessels, you know what I'm saying, to move those who are willing to learn into this. But in no way, shape, form, or fashion am I going out and trying to recruit people and tell them this. I mean, you know, I just tell them what I learned, but I don't go to people and be like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, this is how you're supposed to do things like that. No, I don't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like I said, you know, everybody's not meant to be chosen. You are right. You know, everybody's not meant for this. You know what I'm saying? Because it's too heavy for people that, oh, well, I don't know how to follow the commandments. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in that. I don't believe in this. See, a lot of us tend to say, well, we don't believe. But, you know, well, what do you believe in then? If you don't believe when I'm...
All right.
Hello?
Stand by 1 second, Brother Kabetichi, let me, all right, let me get this next caller coming in out of the side. 757, area code 652, you on?
Peace, Black Power, you're talking to that Queen Sheba. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, Queen Empress Sheba, how you doing? Yeah, we're just on talking about what's in the name tonight.
Yeah, I was hearing him talking about how you can get the people. See, what it is, he was talking about the people. It's not by trying to get them in this and that. It's to show them what you're doing to make them interested to come into what you're doing and want to be in it.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we just on, that's our topic tonight, Empress Sheba. What's in the name, and we're just going over the origins of our enslavement, our others' enslavement. We're going over the origins of...
Oh, you're talking about slavery? Yeah.
No, we're just talking about, yeah, you know, we're getting a history lesson tonight, but we have a respect on Brother Dewar. He's on right now giving us a history lesson right
now. Well, he's talking about the stuff that happened, you know, back then to our ancestors.
Well, yeah, he's just talking about the whole 9 yards of who's who. What he's saying, the different names and titles that you use, he's giving you a history where it came from, the etymology of it. So, we appreciate you calling in.
I understand what he's talking about. Now he's diving with the energy and the power of the answer.
All right. I got people calling me. I don't know where they're calling me. They know we're on the radio. Go ahead, Brother Dewar. Back on you.
Okay. let me get back into giving you the history of when you became all of these great peoples, these towers that white folks done put on you. In 1964, Jesse Jackson said, "I'm no longer a colored man." See, from 1619 to 1964, and after 1964, you was called colored people. You weren't called no African American or all of that stuff you call yourself then. This is a phrase that was coined by Jesse Jackson when he said, "I'm African American. I'm black in power," and you still were segregated at that moment if you lived in the South. And then around about 1980, everybody started calling themselves African Americans or black American or black man when you say you became, got light and became into the know of things. And this is when you got this name, and because you became a citizen, a second class citizen in 1870. They said that you was a native, a naturalized member of a state, a nation who owes allegiance to its government and is entitled to its protection. And the 1857 Dred Scott decision said we wasn't citizens over citizenship, the character of an individual viewed as a member of society, behavior in terms of the 1857 Dred Scott decision said we wasn't citizens. In 1858, Lincoln wrote a house. He wrote in a letter, I got a whole book of Lincoln's letters. He wrote in a letter in 1858, he said, "A house divided against itself can't stand." I find these words that he said true today. Abraham Lincoln said, "I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. You will become one thing or the other, either the slave need to be completely free or you will hate each other, the slave and that." Well, I found that out, see, but when Andrew Johnson took over, he put the black codes in. Abraham Lincoln wasn't for the black codes. But when he got assassinated, it's funny because Andrew Johnson wasn't his president. He was another black boy like Abraham, a lot of blacker than Abraham Lincoln was in. I ain't got my books before me, but I do know this history. And you became half free and half slave when they said that you was emancipated. The definition of a bondsman is a male slave, unfree tenant. A bondsmaid is a female slave, unfree tenant. A bondsman is one who is bond or who has been bonded, become servant to another, is signer. These are the names that the African American has been given by white people. That ain't what y'all created or what you was created. You was created male and female. That's what you was created. You're the greatest person in the world, but through somebody genocizing you, you believe today and you don't have your power. And the way they genocide you is through a religion called Christianity. And this is for the preacher. Any preacher out there, they want to dialogue me on what I say, brother, you just name the place, because I got books, I will travel on you. So me and you going to travel in the history of the name of Jesus Christ first, brother Jew. Jesus Christ was translated out of Jesus Krishna. Jesus became Jesus, but the original name that they say who Jesus Christ is Yahshua. In the language of Yah, Yahshua means Yah's salvation. It's a statement. It ain't even a name. You see, the people that's in Yahwehism, you don't have names. You have statement. Like my statement is Dawaya Zakaya, the beloved of Yah who didn't forget Yah. That's what I say. That's what you call me by. Ain't that right, Brother Drew? You've been calling me by that for years and years, right? It's a statement.
Right.
What I call myself is a statement. It has a meaning to it. It ain't got a European name of Poogie and Boo-Boo and Hoo-Boo and Boo-Boo. Bow-Wow and Choo-Choo. Snoop Doggy. We don't have that in Yah's people. Only in the Christian world are you living in this world. My question to you, preacher, is how did Yahshua, who was a Yehuda, and you, that's what he really was, you call him a Jew, how did he become Jesus with a title Krishna? Now, that word Krishna comes out of Hinduism. It's the black god of Hinduism, and that's where your Holy Trinity come from that these Christians got in the doctrine or teaching of the Apostle Creed, Nicene Creed, and Tertullian Creed, Brother Drew. Christianity is a form of what is known as Zen Buddhism. See, the teaching and the belief of Christ, which is a title, is translated from the word Krishna. And Krishna is translated from the word Christo. When you go back in to look up who Krishna was, you come into the Trinity. And this is how come you can spot how this religion is Hinduism. You got a Trinity in Hinduism with Krishna, who is Christ in this language, in the Trinity. And that word means black. That's what that word means, Brother Drew. And I want one of you preachers to tell me I'm lying.
Oh, okay. You got another caller standing by. Another caller. All right. Caller coming in from the 214 area code 586, y'all.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, Keith, what's up?
Hey, Keith, yeah. Just listening to Brother Dawa.
Oh, okay, we're talking about what's in a name. He's just going over what's in a name and the names we use, the names we call by, the names we done traveled on, and, you know, it's a vibration in a name. You know, you can, I'll let Minister DeWalk finish speaking. Go ahead, DeWalk.
Okay.
Aki, did you have a question? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have a question, Aki?
No. I'm just listening to the brother. Just listening to Brother DeWalk.
Assalamu alaikum, Aki.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh yeah, I got peace of mind, brother. You know that, but I have to break it down. I hope you got into it because see, I'm you know you heard this preacher messing with me. That's the reason I'm on this. We're gonna look at Christianity, what someone done give you their religion and their God and their language and their tongue. We're gonna look at it, which is a lie. See, white folks done give black folks a lie that they believe in. So we're going to straighten the lie out. And if it's, and like I just said, if you know one of them preachers that you think that would dialogue, but tell him to come on. I want him like a hog won't slop and he the slop. I'm going to bust his kneecap. And you know, when I used to go play Biz Whiz, Brother Drew, I carry me a can opener with me. I'm going to open up a can of whoop you know what on his butt for telling a lie and not going and checking out what his white daddy done taught him. See, because,
right.
Like I said, documentation beat any conversation. Now, answer this for me. Your Bible, let's go get your Bible that you say you believe in, the 1881 Revised Version of the Bible. That's when it came out. You subtract 1881 from 2013 and see how old your Bible is that you're talking to me out of that's been revised. I want you to go into the Ethnology Dictionary, look up the word revised, and look up the word version, and tell me whose version it is in, because it sure ain't in the version of Judaism. And your first five books of the Bible is the Torah, and the other 34 is the Tanakh, and that's funny. That's Judaism. But if I asked any ignorant preacher, do you believe in Judaism? The first thing come out of your mouth is you going to tell me that you don't believe in Judaism. That makes you a zip-down fool, because if you believe in the Bible, you believe in Judaism, because the first 39 books of it's Judaism. If you say you with Jesus, Jesus was a Jew that practiced Judaism. Yehudaism, if you just want to get down to the nitty-gritty, homeboy. That's what it's called, Yehudaism, in his language. In his language, you will see in the 6th century, the mesmerized Jew hid Yah's language and made a language up, Brother Drew and Brother Hakeem, called Yiddish. They got real sophisticated with it and hung it off into the Lord, but they had to do it because of their crazy-ass cousins, the Magog, Gog, and Tubal, that Germanic race of people. That's why the Jews had to do what they had to do and hide the knowledge, so at one day and period of time that the little black boy named Dawayu would come see the knowledge and read about it and can learn and tell about it, what the forefathers did, brother man. So when this came into existence, you had the Bible. At the 119th Psalms in your Bible, you write this down, preacher. Write, or if you're a Christian out there, listen, write it down for your preacher and give it to him in the morning. At the 119th Psalms, look above them 20 Psalms, you will see Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Wi-Fi, Krate, Yad, Kaf, Lama, Mem, Nun, Sinai, Pei, Kali, Su, Reishin, Pa. Take the vowels out of that. You got Abba, God, Da, Ha, Wa, Da, Ka, Ma, La, Ta, Ma, Reishin, Ba. You got Yah's language. The tenth sign and symbol in that language is Y-A, Yah, Yah's language. So this is where they had hid. But if you go ask this D.D. Toten, sophisticated, taught by his white daddy preacher, what is them little funny-looking signs next to this, and what is this? They don't know. If you think I'm lying, go ask them. Because, see, I asked them. See, this is, I told them one thing, that when Paul told you to study to show yourself approved, you need to be undone that when you come up on this voice, when you hear this voice, because this voice is going to have nothing but smoking foot butt on you with what your white daddy done taught you. And I mean this thing, Brother Drew, because it's time out for jive, it's time out for a lie that some cracker done told us. And the word cracker, how he got that word cracker, Brother Drew, on the end of a bullwhoop, was a two pieces of rawhide plaited together to make a cracker, and they cut you open with this bullwhoop. The president know how to use this bullwhoop like I know how to use it, because everybody in Crockett know how to use one, because most of us were taught how to use a bullwhoop. We used to have contests on who could pop the flower off and stuff. And then if you put some barbed wire in between them, for them bad Negroes, they put some barbed wire in between that rawhide on that cracker, and it slice you open and just eat you up, Brother Drew, and then they put supper off in it after they done beat you down there half to death. This is what the white boy did to you that you love so much, and because he done taught you in his Bible to pray for those that spitefully misuse you. Love your enemy as you love yourself. Well, that's a zip-down fool that love his enemy. But you're supposed to do what your Bible say, and your God, Paul, tells you that. Because if you don't know where to find what I'm saying in your Bible, look me up, brother, if I won't show it to you. Grits ain't groceries, eggs ain't groceries, and Mona Lisa was a man. Now, I bet you on that, and I'm talking plenty of trash tonight. I'm footloose on one of you ignorant preachers. I want one of you to come on up, talk to old Meatball about this. It's about your history of your life that you've been telling people running around here, talking about you got the Holy Ghost and the Holy this. You ain't got a Nation of Islam people that look like your people. You ain't got a black Hebrew Israelite Jew that look like your people. Your people are Christian. They the worst looking things on the world, and your God ain't helping you. You tell me, you say your God is saving you and Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Tell me what he's saving you from and tell me what he's lording you from. And look at your history. You got stats. You got the worst history in the United States of any nation of people after 1970 when you integrated. And I want you to tell me the definition of integrated. And I want you to tell me the definition of segregated. That's why we did so good when we were segregated, but you wanted to be one of them prim and proper house Negroes where you could be like that song I used to sing, Brother Drew, What is Hip? See, what is hip? Well, I'm going to ask you something. You've been worshiping Jesus since 1870. Do the math on it. And if Jesus worshiping him and paying your tithes to him and praising him was hip, then they would be hipper than hip, wouldn't they, Brother Jew?
Yes, sir.
Because they pray. They pray. The Muslim and the Hebrew Israelite Jew, they pray five times a day. Christians pray all day long and ain't now prayer answer. Because if they prayers would answer, what is they doing being 85% dropout, 85% pregnancy, 96.97% illiterate, when in 1964, before they integrated, they was only 5.5% illiterate. 50 years off the plantation, the American man was 45% illiterate. 130-something years off the plantation, he has moved up when he integrated to 96.97%. I want you to tell me what happened. Because if you don't think that I ain't telling you documentation, I'm going to set your ignorant butt down and let you see what it is. And if you don't understand what your people, you Christians, I'm talking to one group of people, a Christian who is supposed to be Christ-like, and you say you follow a man named Jesus Christ, whose name was translated out of Yahshua, then I say that the preacher is a lie. Because, see, what makes you a lie, you and your white daddy who taught you this bull. See, and I'm going to tell you like my daddy told me, Brother Drew. When you got a B.A. Then he gave you a B.S. Then he made a master. Then he gave you a master. The old master gave you something. He made you a doctor. Well, my daddy said that's when a black ass got some bullshit from old master and you become a doctor in his bullshit, then you become a highly sophisticated, educated, prim and proper house nigga. That's what you are if you got one of these degrees out there, especially in theology. I'm talking to the theology boys. Theology is a compound word, Brother Drew. Compound Greek word. Theo mean God, and ology mean the study. So when you studying Jesus Christ, you studying the God of Greece. Now my question is, was Jesus a Greek? And your teachers is that a theology, and Jesus was a Jew. And you ain't got no teaching of Judaism. I don't know why some rabbi don't teach your ignorant self something. That goes for all of you preachers out there with DDs and summa cum laude. Somebody need to teach you. I don't care if you don't learn or nothing. I'm just putting it out there of who, what you got. And I dialogue you on it. I'm calling you out. One thing about me, Brother Drew, I'll call you out just like Wyatt Earp used to call him out. I'll call you out for a gunfight in a New York sucker. and I'll put you on center stage with your congregation looking. I'm talking to the preacher. See, a preacher didn't have no business messing with me a while ago, Brother Drew. And I was gonna, I'm going to be wide open on him. If you study our history, Brother Drew, the history of this African-American, if you study his history, you will find that he was a great inventor. He invented, man, I got a list of stuff that the African-American who was the slave have invented. It's just remarkable if you go study your history, African-American. I'm not one of y'all. See, I didn't come from no Eastern Hemisphere. I came from the Western Hemisphere. All of my people come from a tribe in the Western Hemisphere. I'm just telling you about when you came over here from the East to the West, and this is a series of when the East meet the West. And you meeting the West now is telling you about the bull crappy that your white daddy done taught you when he brought you over here to the East to the West. And you invented many inventions. It wouldn't be no choo-choo train if it wasn't for a black slave, Brother Drew. If you go look at black inventions, everything on a train was invented almost by a black man. And something else that they leave out, Brother Drew, that I find very interesting when I was studying the history of these African Americans. They had some black women. They had some black women that were scientists, great inventors, man. You didn't get that in no school system because I went through the school system. Yeah, ain't nobody never taught me that in no school system. I had to go searching and looking for this on my own. You had many, many black women. I got a chart, Brother Drew. You know that chart. You done seen it. Of all of these inventors. And guess what, Brother Drew? They didn't go to a white man's school. That's what I find amazing. They wasn't taught in no white man's school. These people wasn't taught, period, that invented all of this stuff. They didn't finish from no white man's school. So they were just gifted with this knowledge. They was craftsmen, what you call a craftsman. Yes, sir. Brother Drew.
I was just agreeing with you.
I thought you had another caller, but see, all of this, Brother Drew, you got this history, and you can't deny this history. I mean, once upon a time, Brother Drew, you didn't have this history; it wasn't available to you. I think you find that in your Bible. This history wasn't available to you, but there will come a time when would be no secret and everything would be known. Well, this is the beginning of sorrow. It tells you in your Bible this is the beginning of sorrow because it became the beginning of sorrow when somebody like me found out about it and started talking about it. And I'm not asking you to believe me. I just want you to go do the research. And if you are black Muslim or Hebrew Israelite or somebody else other than a Christian, You go look out there. If you're a Christian, look at your people, your people. Your people. Your people, the people that call themselves Christians, got the worst record out here than any other nation of people. See, you are in the time period, what is called War of the Gods, when the gods are battling with each other. In America, you have, it's just like, and if you studied Islam, you'll know about the Kaaba had 360 gods in there, and in the East, and Muhammad went in there and killed all of them gods, put one belief in there, which was in the ways of Abraham, which is Yahwehism, and in the Quran, you'll find that word. I'm going to do a study on the Quran. One of these studies, we'll go into the study of the Quran and break it down where you find the word Yah, and now Yahwehism in the Quran. But these people, your Bible, let's look at your Bible, Brother Drew. What is your Bible? Your Bible is the story of some people named Yehuda that you call Jews. It is their story. That's why they're the chosen people of God. It's their story. It is not your story. It is their story. Now, the first five books of the Bible is called Torah. It was here before any Jew got here. Judaism got started at 2500 B.C. It was the second religion that got started. Hinduism is the first religion that started at 4000 B.C. That's when religion came into existence. This teaching that Yehuda, that the Jews believed in, was here 250,000 years before any Jew got here. The Bible is their story. Of the other 34 books of the Bible is called the Tanakh, all the way to Malachi. It's out of order. It's out of chronological order. The King James Revised Version that you believe in is out of chronological order, Brother Drew. They made this mistake intentionally when they put it in there in 1881. If you go back into the original, the 1611 King James Bible, and if you open up any 1881 Bible, they'll tell you point blank that that book had been translated out of the 1611. I want to know how many of you preachers ever seen the 1611 Bible, because if you ain't never seen it, I got four or five running around here in the house somewhere, Drew. I know where most of them are, but I have four or five of them. So it's a funny thing in the 16, the word translated means to be, if I look in the word translated, means to copy exactly. Well, that's a funny thing. The 1611 is wrote in English, and me and you, Brother Drew, is supposed to be speaking English. How come in the 1611 Bible ain't no J's in there, Brother Drew? You can't find a J in the 1611 Bible. It's spelled I-E-S-U-S, Christo. Yeah, but you can't find no J's in the King James Bible, not the English Bible, not the book that this book was translated. Now, that's the reason I say you got to know what version you got. See, you got to know what version of this Bible you preachers got to know that your white daddy put you up under. See, because he damn sure your daddy, because you believe him. Livestock and bow, you got the Holy Ghost with him. That's the reason you're getting ghosted. So, this book is the story of this tribe of people who could not, and they tribe, after they got the knowledge, you had some of them, which they call themselves Zionist Jews, they could keep this knowledge. The Orthodox Zion Jew, he stayed with Yahwehism, and it's a funny thing. If you want to know how Yahwehism work and see did it work and prosper for the people, if you live that way a lot, look at the Zion Jew. That's all the African-American got to do is look at the Zion Jew. What has he got? Well, he got more than any nation of people on the earth. Well, then my thing is this here. How did he get it? He got it by using your knowledge and obeying your knowledge that you don't know anything about and you don't want to obey. That's how he got it. That's how he got the power. He speaks the language. The power is in the language. Each nation of people has its own language. African America is not a nation of people. It is some ex-slave that lives in a nation of people that they call themselves them. If I ask you your name, you'll tell me you're a white man. That's really Elijah Muhammad said. You can't learn nothing until you change your name. And that's when all of them change their name, Brother Drew. Because you can't change your mind if you don't change your name. Because the name is there with you. It's got that energy on you. What's in a name? Name carries energy. So as long as you keep the slave man's name, you got his energy that he done put on you. That's what you don't see that slave mentality on no Muslim or Hebrew Israelite Jew. You don't see it. Only on a Christian, a black Christian, especially if he's a Democrat. See, a Democrat, like his white daddy, taught him to be a Democrat and a Republican. He don't even know what a Democrat and Republican is because what's your place? Yeah, let's deal with that name. I like that name, Brother Drew, since we own it. Democrat is a compound Greek word. Demo means demonic. Kratic means to control the minds of people. So when you're a Democrat, you ain't see. That means a black Democrat. See, you're a black one. You ain't a white one. A black Democrat, that means that you are controlled. Somebody controls your mind on a demonic belief. And that's a funny thing, Brother Drew, because if you follow the history of a Democrat, if you were an ex-slave and you became a Democrat, you were known as a Democrat, Brother Drew. You was known as a plebeian. And if you go to the Navy Academy or to West Point, when you first go in, you were called a plebeian. Well, now I want you to look up that word, plebeian, in your dictionary. See, best thing is that etymology dictionary, that cut out all confusion when you get in that etymology dictionary and find a definition of the word that defines this language. See, all language is made with a sign, a symbol, and a number, and has a definition for it. What defines this language that you and I speak and making conversation in, Brother Drew, was to a family called the Webster family, Noah Webster and Daniel Webster. You have to have both of their etymology dictionaries so you can get a better understanding. We have that, and you know we got all of that in our class. When you study with us, you get all of these books of knowledge that you can sit down and for yourself and become a great student. And a traveling man and studying for yourself, you don't have to believe nothing that nobody says. The word Republican. Now, look at that word. Let's read it from left. And this one, Brother Drew, you can leave. It's got knowledge in this word Republican. It's got knowledge if you read it from the left. And if you read it from the right, it still say the same thing. That's good old Mason knowledge. That is those hidden signs and symbols in a word and a name, Brother Drew. You got to find that them hidden codes that's off in a name, you know. So we're going to do that. Republican. In ancient Greek, can mean God, and all the can gods. I got a list of all the can gods. Quillen can, and that's the reason that they name you American, Mexican, can, you know, American. You take the can off, it's a compound word. Amero is a star. That means the star god. And so you had to understand these codes that's off in a word, in a name. You don't understand that if you got an etymology dictionary and look up the definition of the word. You don't have to be no dummy. It don't take a genius to do it. You just have the material and know what got to have the right material to work with when you're doing your study. All of them can. So if we, R or E is raw, the public God, or the God of the public is raw. Well, if we study Christianity, we will find out that if we go into the study in the history of Amon, of Ra, and then after 18 dynasties, he became Amen Ra. And the Christians at the end of the Bible, Brother Drew, I found it very amazing. You see the word Amen. Well, if you go into the Egyptian Book of the Dead, I want you to get you one of those books. You might put it up online, or you can probably go online and look up the word Amen. Amen means hidden God. So they had hid God. He became Amen Rod, and so he became the hidden God. But when he was raw, he was worshipped 4,000 years. He's the longest worshipped God of any history of the people worshiping God on a multitude basis was Ra, the Egyptian god, Ra, who became Amen Ra. And in your Bible, the reason you know you're attached to him is because Amen is your last word. But Amen is also a code word. So the code word is said, Amen means hid God. So if you're in the Masonic Lodge, where did they hide God? Well, when you become Royal Ark, that's the fourth degree. The Quran come into the Lord. So they say they hid God up in Mecca. So when you got this King James 1881 Bible that they say that the Christians and the preachers say is the word of God. God inspired the people to write this book. No, this is a history book, Holmes, and I'm going to break it down to you through the nitty-gritty. I'm going to cut you down so low, Brother Drew. I had an old saying, I'm going to cut you so low where your butt can sit on a grain of sand and your butt and feet still won't hit the ground. That's what my daddy told me. He whooped my ass. So that's the way I'm going to whoop on you when you come up to me with this job. Now, getting on back down to Republican, if you are ex-slave and a Republican, you are a HELOC. You're known as a HELOC. But it's a funny thing, a HELOC, Brother Drew, if you was a HELOC, you could rise in a Republican form of government up to the status of a very, 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 very wealthy man in a Republican form of government, which is this is the Republic of the United States of America. This is a Republic. It don't say this is the Democrat of the United States of America. That's another lie that they tell you. This is a Democratic form of government. No, this is a Republican form of government. A Democratic form of government carries a parliamentary. You don't have a parliamentary. You have a Senate, and representatives. It carries a monarchy form. You got a president. You ain't got a queen. So you ain't a Democratic form of government. Let's go all for you black jackasses out there. And ask me, why did they get that logo jackass? Well, Ness gave you that, Charles Ness in 1870 drew a picture of him, Brother Drew, with the jackass as their logo. So a jackass, if we go into ethnology, is the most stupidest animal known to mankind, an elephant brain no bigger than a damn pea. So if you one of them black Republicans, your brain ain't no bigger than a pea, that's what you're saying to me when you meet this boy. And if you're a black Democrat, use a black jackass, and a jackass is the most stupid animal in the world. And the funny thing in the Bible, they got some jackass language in there, because if you go into the book of Matthew, you'll see the word W-O-E, whoa. When I read the Bible, I say, ooh, that's got jackass language in here. And them black jackasses ought to know, Brother Judy. This book say, whoa, be unto you who do this. Whoa, whoa means stop. When you talking to a jackass, G means giddy up. Ha, you got G, ha. Now, that's a funny thing, because when the Muslims get on your butt, what they say? They G-ha your butt. See, and I found those words interesting, Brother Jew, and with the study and what's in a name, that you find all these codes and stuff when you're off into a deep studying of names. if you go back and study the history of the Greek people, you go back to what is called, I like this one because, see, the present-day white boy that's over here that done changed his name, he's the descendant of these Greco-Romans, as they call them now, that came out the, see, the word Germanic means interbreeding, tribes interbreeding. So when they interbreed, they came Greco-Roman civilization. But their history started off with the Ill people, I-L-L. Now, when you go into the dictionary and look up the word ill, that means that you're sick, right? Right, but
right.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
So the ill people became the Iliads, and the Iliads became the Greeks, and the Greeks invaded the Romans and mixed their seed. They became Greco-Roman, then they became Anglo-Saxon, then they became America. So, but they forefathers of what they see. You see, when you're dealing with history, you don't deal with the roots, you deal with the seed. They seed started with some people history, when you go back and study them, called the ill people. So that's the reason that I know that your white daddy done taught you some stuff that got, that's how come you ill in today's society. And ain't nothing but facts. See, documentation beat any kind of jive but conversation. I mean, I'm telling you facts right now. And anybody that want to dispute me, I would gladly put you in the books and put you on the path to this. And what I want is the preacher. I want him like a hog wants slop, Brother Drew. I'm mad at the preacher. The preacher shouldn't have winding me up. He didn't know what he was stirring up. He didn't know I'd call him out. See, they ain't got no radio station up here for me to call him out no more other than Robert Ashley, and I call him out on Robert Ashley. I want to put him on trial. Brother Drew, and Brother Drew, let's get into the Bible. I want all of you Christian preachers out there to get into the Bible. I'm gonna tell you what your first commandment is. We're gonna deal with the book of Proverbs according to the theology teaching. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom and knowledge, Brother Drew. See, I spent about 19 years in college taking theology. I ain't got no degree, Brother Drew, but I was just going to college and jiving around. And I found out by reading the Proverbs, and I went on a cruise in 2001. I was out on the water for 2 weeks, Brother Drew, and I studied Proverbs, and I got the same tablet that I had at 2001, and I'm looking at it where I had put down this lesson here of your eight commandments. The first commandment that you find that you as an African American is, and this is reading, I know they can't read, Brother Drew, it says, envy not your oppressor. And you know, most of them don't know who their oppressor is.
Right.
Use none. It didn't say none, some. It says none of his ways. That's what it says. It says that clear. When I get you, preacher man, you see, you know I got this hit list. I'm a sniper. I believe in busting you right dead in your head. It tells you this clearly, Brother Drew. Now, if you can read, reading is comprehension, right?
Right.
If you can read, then Book of Proverbs is for your wisdom and knowledge, and you're an African American, and you read this, you have Bible study every Wednesday night, and if you Negroes is in your 50s and 60 years, you've been sitting up in the church house having going to Wednesday night Bible study, teaching Bible study. Well, then you was calling words. You evidently you couldn't be reading, because if you was reading, this book is said that you're supposed to obey it. You say this book was wrote by Jesus. Well, Jesus told you not to go in the ways of the Gentile. I tell you that. It's the 6th chapter of Matthew. Don't go in the ways of the Gentile. And here you, what you call yourself. Jesus come back today, and you run up to him. My name is Book White. Book said, Jesus look at you like you a damn fool. goddamn, here you is black as hell, and you sitting up saying you're a white man. That's and the next thing I want you Christians, this is a hit list, Brother Drew. You know how you tell the more hit list. Deuteronomy the 7th. I want you to read all of Deuteronomy the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, because these are orders that you should follow. That's coded by the Masonic order that the Jews that wrote this Bible was trying to give you Negroes, African America, a clue. These are the orders of Yahwehism that you were supposed to have followed. It says that anybody that held you into slavery, that when they let you out of slavery, not to marry or go in their ways for you to separate yourself from them. You done integrated into them. You didn't follow that order. You didn't follow that order, but your Bible clearly tell you this. And see, this is what I'm going to go to this preacher. I'm going to go... I'm going to go to him with this. The next thing is found in Proverbs 16:25. It says, there's ways that seem right unto a man, but the end therefore the ways of death. Well, look at you. These ways that this white boy done told you would seem right to you, because you ain't never studied it. But it clearly tells you at Revelation 2, verse 15, Jesus said that he hated the teaching and the doctrine of the Nicolaitan church. Well, the Nicolaitan is a Greek compound word that means to control the mind. Remember that word, kratic, it means to control lady. It also means to control the mind of the people. Well, the Western Angelic Gospel Christian teaching that you are a preacher up under, if you're a Baptist preacher, you're up under the Nicene Creed. If you creed, if you are a Methodist preacher, you preach the Apostle Creed, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, you're up under the Apostle Creed. Any other denomination, non-denomination, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Swingers, you're up under the Tertullian Creed, you believe in the Holy Trinity. That's the Nicolaitan doctrine. Go read Revelation 2 and verse 15. Jesus said that he hated that teaching. So if you are in a church in the United States of America and you are participating in a church up under these doctrines, and you are, because you have to, because it is a government order that you, this is your doctrine, this is your teaching, this is what they teach you in your theology school homes. Well, then Jesus said he hated you. So when you come up and bring your teaching to me and tell me all this jive about this and about that, well, then your book say he hated you. And I found that one of the best proverbs that I found was Proverbs 1, verse 22. The first words in it, Brother Drew, was, O ye simple ones, how long are you going to fall for simplicity? Meaning that, O ye simple ones, how long are you going to fall and be a simple-minded person to what some white man done taught you? In the book of Numbers, it tell you that if you were a slave, this is what Nat Turner read. I ain't found no preacher like Nat Turner. Black preacher like Nat Turner, he read that if somebody captures you and put you in slavery when you got out of captivity, kill him. Didn't Nat Turner do that, bro?
Yes,
that's the only black preacher ever been in the United States. The 457 years that you've been here, Nat Turner's the only preacher, but he seemed like he could read.
That's a good
And that's a funny thing that all of this, see, like I said, I want to sit one of these preachers down and have a little fireside chat with him, run it through the book. And Brother Cohane is out on the road there, Brother Drew, and I guess we'll get this a cut. next week or sometime. And one of the most things of one of the teaching that you need to go back and study about is where did this Trinity get started and how many bulls did it take in 3-in-1? Ask your simple self, how can something be 3-in-1? How can somebody be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? You mean that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is the same thing? How is that? A son is the offspring. How is the person that the Father, the offspring, and it's going to be all one? How is that when everybody ain't no one or nothing? Once you look like me and you, Brother Drew, it ain't but one of us. How in the hell is it 3-in-1? Ain't nobody got your eye print, throat print, fingerprint, voice print. And how in the hell can Father, Son, and Holy Ghost be 3-in-1? Huh? I mean, you have to ask yourself certain questions, because if you don't, then you become illiterate. I mean, I got these questions to ask. I got 360 questions to ask the preacher. And you know, Brother Drew, when I get to whining on him, I'm going to bust him all upside his head. So anybody out there listening, tell the preacher to listen to this broadcast and so he can see what come on here, tell me where to meet him on this teaching. And we want to get down on some facts on this religion called Christianity, where it come from.
All right, we got a call coming back in. 214-586, you back home?
Yeah, I'm still. I'm in. Hey, yeah, Brother Dawah, man. I was dialoguing with a guy, man, and I've been knowing this dude like for around 30 years, you know. And he was over here one night, and I was telling him that I was telling him. I said, how can we were talking about the Trinity? I was like, how can it be God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? I was like, first of all, any entity that has a spirit already, you know, the spirit is, or either he's a spirit himself, or if not, the spirit is that goes along with any person, an entity or whatever. And I'm like, and then the son, I was saying the same thing that you were just saying. I was like, how can they be the same person? And then when he so-called that was on the cross, if that was the same person, if God is actually, if that the Christian God is actually Jesus and God are the same one, who was he talking to when he was so-called looking up in heaven? And then who and how can you sit at the God's right hand side if you're God? Then who's sitting at the right hand side? You see what I'm saying?
Brother, it's one thing that I know about you. See, reading is comprehension. And so you can't comprehend what you just read then. You know a lie when you see it. See, this is what
right.
You know, you got y'all's DNA in you. Y'all's DNA is for the truth. You got that DNA in you. That's the reason I say this teaching ain't for everybody. It's for an enlightened person. It's for a person that his mind has become mine and is a traveling man. This teaching, it doesn't save you, it doesn't do that, but it's a way of life that if you understand who you are, then you understand why you should follow certain dietary. And y'all's teaching deals basically with dietary laws. And
right.
your diet, see, let's trace food. When you put food into your body, the last thing that protoplasm, when it's traveling through your body, when it turns into plasma, the protoplasm, all the good things, we'll do something on hemoglobin one of these days. The last thing that gets fed is your brain. Well, them 144,000 cells that's up in your brain, brother, if one of them go blink on you, dead on you, because of lack of nutrition, then that thing is dead. Your memory and your thinking, it get distorted. That's why you had to put high-grade, what they call supreme food in your body, like broccoli and leafy vegetables. I don't have to tell you if you don't. I feel like that you already know because you've been traveling and studying. You can't put what is found in the 11th chapter of Leviticus. You'll find in that chapter clean and unclean food. This law been here. It's called the law of the beast. It's been here for any Jew got here. For any of this wrote down, it was already wrote down. 250,000 years ago, y'all wrote this about what you're supposed to do. When you put unclean food in your body, it breaks your body down where you start living like you're living now. Now, look at the records that you got of the history of the people who was in Yahwehism. Hey, them jokes live 100 years old. You're not living that today because of your dietary laws. Because you can start with Abraham when Noah, whichever one that asked God that you could eat meat. Well, then you had a certain way to process the meat. You had to take all the blood out of the meat. You ain't got no Christian that take the blood out of no meat. When you go to your supermarket, you see nothing but blood running out of that meat. When you go to the restaurant, I was playing poker the other night. A guy had a big old steak, blood coming out of it. Black dude. And he looked just like what he was eating, a beast of the field. Blood oozing out. Well, your Bible clearly tells you that you are supposed to take that blood out, and you ain't supposed to eat the blood of an animal. But the only people that don't eat the blood of an animal, because the Jews call it halal, kosher. The Muslims call it halal. They take the blood out of their meat. They soak it in brine water. They take the blood out of their meat. These Jews and these Hebrew Israelites that's black, and they follow the laws of Yah, which is nothing but the laws of Abraham, they say. You don't see now Christian following this law. He eats blood. Why he eat it? Because his white daddy has taught him to eat it, because that's the way his white daddy eat.
Right.
He eat the hog from the rooter to the shooter, and he'll tell you to eat it from the rooter to the shooter. Because I got some partner that's a preacher that tell me, I don't care what you say, I'm going to eat it from the rooter to the shooter. You know, talking about when Jesus died, all you have to do is pray over it. So my question to any one of you preachers over here, I want you to take a pork chop, put it in an airtight jar, and wait 14 days and pray 24 hours every day. I bet you that worm come out. And that worm ain't no bigger. It will stop up your capillaries and clog up you and give you type 2 diabetes and heart trouble and everything that you got that Elijah Muhammad told you you were going to have after 64 years. In 1932, Elijah wrote a book, How to Eat to Live. You said he was a damn fool. But he said after two generations, which would take 32 years to make a generation, and that's 64 years. Now you put 64 years on to 1932, you got 1992. Well, in 1992, go see how many African Americans up into 2030. Look how you look. You look like a hoggly woggly from Piggly Wiggly. And you're dying like flies from eating pork. Your dietary law. Food feeds your brain. That's the reason if you don't, the Muslim and the Hebrew Israelite Jew and people like you, young brother, can comprehend what I'm saying, it's because of your dietary law. And this is what the most important part is. Feed your baby right. If you like ham and shrimp and all of that, don't feed it to your baby. Don't feed it to your baby. Now, he going to be little Bam Bam running around like a fool. White sugar. Here's one thing I can say, Brother Drew. When a man come up and tell me that I'm a Hebrew Israelite Jew, I'm a black Muslim, he's enlightened. He's on the road to traveling. If he can follow the dietary laws, I guarantee you, you'll see a child coming through there that's an A student. You'll see him with another school of thought, another mindset. You know, he act like these people. The Muslim and the Hebrew Israelite children, they don't even act like Christian children, man. Shoot, it's like night and day. I can go to the mall and be playing chess. Hakeem's two twin boys coming. Man, it's just like, it's just like, man, where these kids come from? And they ain't running all over the place, acting a fool and nothing. They sitting down looking at the people play chess. I can't understand it. If you look in the mall and you see number of Christian children running around, children 1 and 2 and 3 years old just barely walking, little boy come through sagging with his daddy sagging yesterday. Man, it's ridiculous, brother Drew. So if you can see, how Christianity, this religion called Christianity, has deteriorated 2/3 of the people. Now, 5% of these slaves that got freed and they emancipated, not freed, emancipated. That word emancipation, go look it up. It ain't free. That don't mean that you was emancipated. Well, there are 5% now, Brother Drew. But I found out through my study and through looking. See, all you have to do is just look. Look out there. Look at a Nation of Islam's people's children and look at a Hebrew Israelite's children. They're different. It's night and day. And they are the 5%ers. They're the people that's enlightened. That's the reason I say that this way of life is not for everybody. Because if you do the closest to if you are a Muslim, you say Allah means God. You had to understand what God was, you know. This word God is a Germanic word. Nobody knowing anything about a God until this Germanic word come into existence. Or you get to your etymology dictionary and see what year did the word God come into existence. Remember, this language is the language of the serpent. I explained that to you last week. This language, the language of the 360s, your Bible clearly tell you. It was some Jews wrote this Bible, tried to tell you African Americans that don't go in the ways of the people that 360s, don't go in the ways of the Gentiles. These Jews done told you this all over the Bible, done told you slave children not to go in the ways of your white daddy, this Magog and God. They're cousins. They go in the 10th chapter of Genesis. It tell you that Askan Gomer, who had a son named Askenazer, asked the people, the tribes of Askenazer, who you call the Jews. Well, these Jews tried to help you to some stuff that's in your Bible, which you can't read and understand because the Bible was called a forbidden book for 350 years, is wrote up under esoteric and exoteric knowledge. And if you ask the preacher, what is that? You don't know what it is. So what knowledge have you been taught in your school system? It ain't sure ain't eso. You got a lot of exo. You got a doctor's degree in exo. You got a summa cum laude, a magna cum laude, and a cum laude. I call them the laude boys.
Okay. All right, brother. The one we're running out of time. We're in overtime now. The people in the chat room can't hear
okay,
us no more.
Okay, well, next week, Brother Drew, I'll call you, and I'll see Brother Cole be ready to do the uncle. He's out. He's on the road. You know, he's driving truck. I enjoy myself, and
okay. Yeah, we enjoyed that.
No, preacher,
like...
tell him that Brother Dwyer is looking for him.
Yes, sir. Subject, and we appreciate you taking out of your time, and we'll be looking for everybody again next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll have, the topic. Y'all can find out what the topic is. I'll follow talk, send it out. And thank you again, Brother DeWard. A good lesson.
Shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain.